Over the past few years, I've interviewed a young man named Jeremy Armstrong three times. In 1997, he had just turned 16.
Would you spell your first and last name for a court reporter?
J-E-R-E-M-Y. And Armstrong's A-R-M-S-T-R-O-N-G.
Thank you.
That was Jeremy at his trial. Blonde and fair-skinned, he looked like a child in his one good suit. A few months earlier, he had murdered his father's roommate and drug dealer, a man named Robert Drury. He stood trial as an adult, even though he was just 15 at the time of the shooting.
Jeremy Jason Armstrong, 342-386. I'm at Green Bay Correctional Facility. I'm almost 3 years into my sentence.
That was 2 years ago. Jeremy was 18, still pudgy and round-shouldered.
My name is Jeremy Armstrong. My number is 342-386, and we're at Green Bay Correctional Institution. I'm coming up on my fifth year in June.
That was last week, when I went back to Green Bay to see how Jeremy Armstrong is doing. Youth spent in prison barely resembles youth as we know it. Its challenge is not how to cope with freedom, but with its complete absence. Not how to adjust to life in society, but to life outside society. 2 years ago, Jeremy spoke of the irritations of prison life, the noise, the stupidity of so many people around him. Now that he's looking at his 21st birthday, he says he's a little more at ease.
It could be just I'm getting used to this place, which is always a fear, but I don't know. You always hear that word institutionalization, and you know, you never know when you're actually institutionalized. So I'm just hoping that I'll be able to readjust when I get out of here.
Which, under the law, could be as soon as this summer, although that's very unlikely. Jeremy Armstrong is one of that first wave of young offenders who started doing adult time in the 1990s as states cracked down on crime. His own crime is undisputed. He tried to rob Robert Drury, a man he said had threatened him physically and sexually. He wanted money, he said, to pay the utility bill at his mother's house, where the power had been turned off. He used a gun only to threaten, he said, but when Drury mocked him and lunged at him, he fired. The prosecution called his crime premeditated. He swore it was impulsive.
The jury has reached its verdict. That verdict is, we the jury find the defendant, Jeremy Armstrong, guilty of the lesser included offense of first degree reckless homicide.
The judge sentenced him to 20 years in prison, and thus ended the double life of a troubled teenager. When he was bouncing between the crack house where his father lived and the darkened home that his methadone-addicted mother shared with her drug-abusing boyfriend, Jeremy was striving at a private Catholic high school, making straight A's, never missing a day of classes. Today, his life is simpler. He has a prison job that pays 40 cents an hour. With his earnings, he can pay for correspondence courses offered by the University of Wisconsin Extension. He's finished freshman English. And at all times, there is the task of coping with what he calls the nonsense of prison life.
6 days ago, I got my room searched, and they threw all my books on the floor, tore up my bed, you know. And just, you know, it makes you feel angry and frustrated and you don't care anymore. You know, you get all these, you know, it's just violation, you know. Every time you go on a visit, you got to strip when you come out, you know. I like I said, I've gotten used to it, but in a way, it still hits me like, man, I'm stripping for another man. And it's just something that's hard to get used to.
Humiliating.
Yeah, really humiliating.
Why was your room searched?
Probably just a random. They go through every... They got to do so many sales a month. I work too, so they might have thought I had stole something, or I don't know.
Jeremy says his job is good. He assists the plumber and the steam fitter. That keeps him out of his cell for most of the day. Also, working for the Green Bay Maintenance Unit gets him a single cell. In his first 4 years, before he got a single, he had, by his count, exactly 20 cellmates. Since I saw him 2 years ago, Jeremy has grown a couple of inches. His hair is darker, thicker, and stands on end, he says, as if it's scared of his face. He has also read several books. He's been wrestling with Dante's Inferno recently. His greatest fear of 2 years ago, of being transferred to a prison out of state, did not materialize. The warden at Green Bay, Dan Bertrand, says that was probably just because Jeremy was lucky. Jeremy says his father has gotten out of drug rehab and into a factory job with just one relapse. His mother's boyfriend died of an overdose. But his mother, who is on disability, lives in Green Bay and visits him every week.
Twice a week, at least.
And when she comes to visit, how long can you talk? And
visits usually run about two and a half hours, so it's a while.
And do you sit in the same room, or do you have to talk?
Yeah, we're sitting right across from each other.
So you have real contact with her?
Yeah. One hug at the beginning, one hug at the end.
That's your rule, or that's the prison's rule?
Prison's rule.
That's a kind of a limitation on freedom that wouldn't naturally occur to those of us who haven't been in prison, that the number of times you can hug your mother when she visits is rationed.
You get used to it, you know.
Another source of moral support on the outside is Richard Skelba, the Roman Catholic Auxiliary Bishop of Milwaukee.
He sends me these letters. They're called Letters to a Young Man in Prison. And they're, like the last time he came up, he gave me a blessing for playfulness, perseverance, and patience. And this letter is describing how to all three of those attributes will help you in life. And I mean, it's something I never really considered out there, and I'm worked on in here. I heard a homily one day from church, and the old word for a prison was a penitentiary, and it came from a monastery where a monk would mess up, or he would break the rules, or he would offend the abbot, and they would put him in a cell, and they would say, there's a Bible in the cell, and you would pray for forgiveness. And
you would be a penitent.
You would be a penitent, and this is called the institution, but actually it is a penitentiary, and I've tried to take that attitude.
Does this extend to going to Mass here, or to...
Every Thursday.
Your Catholicism has been important to you while you're in the prison.
It's given me a lot of inner calm, you know, it's given me peace. Helped me deal with all the noise and all the nonsense.
Do you ever think back to the trial or to the crime?
Yeah, some nights it still comes up.
What's that like?
I think the biggest thing that I've thought about a lot is when Robert Drury's mom was she spoke at my before I was sentenced, and you know, it was real hard for me just to relive how she, you know, she didn't even ask for a hope. She didn't want me sent away forever and ever. She just asked that I, you know, have a chance to think about what I did. And to have that kind of forgiveness it's unbelievable. It just shocks me to this day that she was able to do that.
The mother of the man you shot.
Yes.
That's what sticks. You think back on that.
I just can't believe she did it. It blew me away.
442 is clear.
Jeremy Armstrong's trial as an adult and his 20-year sentence reflected one movement in criminal justice in the 1990s, treating juveniles as adults. But he was tried before another movement took hold, truth in sentencing. The newer arrivals at Green Bay were given sentences that they must serve to the end. For them, 20 years means 20 years. Back in 1997, no one expected Jeremy to serve 20 years for shooting Robert Drury. That was the maximum, and typically murderers were spending about 9 years behind bars and then, assuming their conduct was acceptable, leaving prison on parole. For newer inmates, parole doesn't exist anymore, but Jeremy retains some influence over the most important question in his life: when will he get out? His good conduct has already paid off in one big way. His social worker has told Jeremy that he's been approved to be stepped down to a medium security prison. He hopes to be placed at Oshkosh, where there's a new program. Inmates translate literature into Braille. This June, when his sentence is one-fourth served, Jeremy will be eligible for parole. And that possibility is his pole star.
Yes, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's kept me up a few nights. I've done everything that I could. You know, I've done everything they asked, and went out of my way to do whatever I could get involved with. I get one chance to impress them people. They see me one time, and look at what I've done for the last 5 years. I hope I get a chance.
You told me something very interesting, though, when you talked about the feeling when your room was searched, for example. You get really angry, I mean, the way you feel. And when I saw you last, you'd had that incident in the cafeteria where you'd gotten very angry at a guy online and you hit him with a tray.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're here in part. I mean, you're here because you got very angry at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So this notion of how you react to humiliating anger, that seems to be at the center of what this is all about. Is it different for you? I mean, can you handle that differently?
I think a lot of it has been just accepting some things you can't change. And just by accepting the fact that you're not always in control has helped me. I don't get as angry as I used to. You know, some things really irk me off, and, you know, I have to take a little time to breathe deeply and all that stuff. But, you know, you don't hurt no one else when you're angry, you know? You know, so all you think is you get real angry, you get back at the other person. You don't. The other person doesn't even think about you, you know? And I kind of realized that over the years. And there's this guy, and he just popped up as I was talking to you. And this guy, man, he's been here for 5 years. And he hasn't talked to anybody in 5 years. No one in 5 years.
He hasn't talked to anyone.
Talked to no one. He sits by himself, a child, doesn't go to rec, stays in his room, and doesn't talk to anyone. I heard him talk about a month and a half ago, and the first thing he said was, "If you get rude with me, I'm gonna hit you in your head." It's the only thing I've heard the man say in 5 years. And if you let the anger just eat away at you like that, that's all you're gonna have. 5 years, and that's the only words you ever hear out of a man. You look at him and you can see how bad it can get, you know? And that's what scares me about letting my anger get control of me.
Jeremy Armstrong, inmate number 342386 at Green Bay Correctional Institution in Wisconsin.